Welcome to the Chengdu Gaming Federation podcast. I'm Austin and I'm joined with Charlie.
Hey, what's up?
And we're nearing the end of the year, so we want to discuss our favorite games that have come out this year. We've both prepared some notes on some of the games that we've been playing over the course of the last year. I think that some of the games are not really much of a surprise.
Yeah. A couple of the games in particular being discussed by everybody. Yeah. It's been a long year of great games. It's exciting to finally do a recap and talk about all the big developments of the last year. It's been a big one. I feel like 2017 has been a big year for the game industry. It may feel like that every year, but I don't know. Maybe this year does feel different, especially with the Switch in particular.
Yeah, we're definitely going to be talking about some games that we've already talked about quite a bit on the podcast.
Nintendo's comeback.
Yeah.
It's and 2017 in a sentence.
Big year, yeah.
Yeah.
You have made a little bit more time to play some of the more recent games. I finally got my new computer and I'm catching up on some of the backlog of games I haven't got around to, but I haven't got to play as many of the big games that came out this year, or at least complete.
Well, you've been playing Deadpool recently. Is that this year?
Yeah, that's not this year.
Okay.
At least I don't think so. I think it's maybe like 4 years ago or something.
Right. Well, when we were talking about favorite games of the year, you know, some people were saying, well, does that mean like games we played this year or games which were released this year? So I don't know. So it's a little bit open for interpretation there. But I definitely came into this podcast thinking, you know, games which were released in 2017, since there are a lot of noteworthy ones of those.
Yeah, there are. I mean, I was planning on talking about games this year. I mean, otherwise we could be just sitting here talking about Heavy Bullets or something.
Heavy Bullets like literally just came to my mind. Yeah. That's a game that came out a while ago and I've been playing it a lot recently. But there's a new game made by the developers of Heavy Bullets.
Oh, there is.
Yeah. That would be High Hell. That's on my list.
Oh, that's the developers. That is.
Yeah, actually, it's made by two developers named Terry Velman, who made Heavy Bullets, and Dose One, who made Enter the Gungeon and Gang Beasts.
I think Dose One did the music, right?
I'm not sure. Those two are both credited with the game, so I believe they did more than the music. But in any case, Heavy Bullets, great game, and it's good to see that developer make something in 2017, which is also highly regarded, High Hell. Although High Hell is not on any game of the year list that I've seen.
Yeah.
But
it's like a speedrun game, right?
It's described as a neon-soaked arcade action first-person shooter. It's a little bit like Hotline Miami, as a first-person shooter. It's like a really quick action game. It kind of has a cel-shaded, it's Borderlands 2-looking art style. Mm. It's really kind of about speed and speed running, so that is definitely an element. It's not a very long game. I think I finished it in maybe 3 hours, something like that.
Wow, that's short.
Yeah, but then you go back, spend time, you know,
trying to perfect it.
Yeah, getting hidden items and going through levels faster.
What kind of hidden items are there?
Different weapons. Every stage has a different objective. So you're trying to like steal the blueprints, or you're trying to kill a couple of bosses, or each level has its own unique objective.
Right.
So there's a lot of variation within the game, and there's a lot of secondary objectives as well. Right. So it may be that you have to destroy the evidence to complete the mission, but you also have to find some other thing to get, you know, secondary objectives. So there's a lot of replayability built into the game. It's made for that, aside from the speedrun element of it.
I'll definitely have to check that out.
Yeah, I think that, you know, since this podcast is about games, but Nintendo, I think, took this year. I don't think there's much question about that.
Yeah.
But I think that my favorite publisher this year was definitely Devolver Digital. They just released so many good games.
Devolver just kills it. They are like on point with I haven't seen anything I wasn't interested in they've put out there. They also did Ruiner, right?
Yeah, Ruiner's on my list also.
Ruiner's actually got a great soundtrack. I haven't spent a lot of time with the game, but I really like the aesthetics of it.
Ruiner and High Hell came out within a month of each other.
Wow.
So Devolver's real busy.
Devolver's
doing a lot of really good things.
Picking up like great titles.
Yeah, for people who might not know, Ruiner is it's described as a brutal action shooter set in the year 2091 in the cyber metropolis Rengkok. It's kind of a cyberpunk game. It's about
kind of like cyberpunk Hotline Miami.
A little bit. Yeah.
With some like different mechanics though, for sure.
It's sort of PlayStation 1 isometric style. It has a unique aesthetic. It's definitely Rainy Alley aesthetic, Blade Runner-ish.
The Rainy Alley aesthetic.
Right.
Yeah.
So when you think about games of the year, let's just get the big one like out of the way.
Zelda.
Right, Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
So I've seen a couple of Game of the Year lists at the Game Awards. Zelda got Game of the Year. I think Mario Odyssey was, you know, there were another other nominated ones, but Odyssey, I think, was the only one that had like a reasonable chance.
Now, you basically, you didn't 100% complete Mario, but you got through that game.
I finished the game.
Not 100%, right? You've got like maybe a third of the moons or something, right? There's like another ending at like the true ending or something at like 500 moons, I heard.
I guess it depends on what you define as finishing the game. You know, I finished the story.
You feel like you like did it though.
So. I finished the game. Yeah, I completed the game. There's a lot of moons.
We're both almost done with Zelda. You just completed the fourth divine beast. We're taking time with that.
I haven't taken that much time.
My dog chew up the...
No, you've taken like 7 months or something. I've like, I'm almost done with it. I think I'll be done with it before the end of the year.
Yeah.
It's my goal to finish it before the end of the year. I mean, I might finish it by the end of this week. I mean, the last three divine beasts I completed this week.
Yeah, I think I could maybe finish it within a week. So...
How many hearts do you have in Zelda?
I don't know. Maybe like 10?
Yeah, you might be able to finish that in a bit. I just got 15. It's a long game. I think I've got just over 60 hours in the game, which I think is more time than I've spent in like one story-based game without completing it. I don't think I've gone this long before.
Fallout?
Nope, not even close. I think I finished Fallout at like 40 hours.
Wow. Well, Zelda's pretty massive.
It is.
You kind of get like caught up in like other things occasionally along the way, on the path. You know, and you kind of lose sight of what your path is too sometimes.
Yeah. So from the perspective of people who are looking at Game of the Year, why do you think it is that everybody has a consensus feeling that Zelda is the Game of the Year? What are the qualities about Zelda that make it stand apart?
So I think to me, Zelda does what open worlds kind of have been trying to do better than any other. It kind of set the standard for what an open world game should do. It does the whole sandbox thing better than like almost anything out there.
Yeah, it doesn't really tell you where to go or what to do. It kind of just unleashes you into this big world, and the world kills you a lot, and you get confused, and you don't know where to go or what to do. And the journey of the game is finding answers to those questions.
I mean, it used to be that like an adventure game was like an old school point and click game or something. But I mean, adventure in the truest sense of the word is like what Zelda is. It's about exploration, going into the unknown, kind of figuring out how to deal with things. And it's exciting. So
it is adventure in the truest sense of the word. It's kind of not to use... Steal Any Thunder from Mario, which is also a great game, but Zelda's kind of an odyssey.
Huh. Yeah.
You know, it's like such a long expedition, which takes you across so many things with so much of it feeling unscripted.
Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah, we've recorded a podcast about Zelda and...
Don't need to spend too much
time.
Yeah,
we don't need to go into too much depth on that. Another one on my list is PUBG.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not that high on my list. I would put it at like maybe 4 or 5, but we also recorded a podcast about that recently, so I feel like we don't have to go into too much.
But I think it is one of the biggest games of the year. But what I think is interesting about it that I was thinking about today is that it's technically not like a full release. It's an early access title that's getting... like notable fame for it being a good game.
Well, there's some conjecture over what deserves to be called a game of 2017. Yeah. So on my list, I have 20XX, which was released in 2014 originally, and it just went full release just a few months ago on August 16th of this year. And for people who don't know, 20XX is a procedural Mega Man X, essentially.
And it's a great game.
It's a really fantastic game. Yeah, so we played it earlier this year. It went full release. When we played it, it was a little bit buggy. I kind of went back and played it. They improved it. They optimized it. There's no slowdown or anything like that anymore. So that's a fantastic game. It went full release in 2017, and it's one of the best games I played this year. So I thought it deserved to be mentioned. Yeah,
it's a lot of fun. PUBG's also supposed to be going full release soon, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, it's supposed to be going.
I played the test server last night, and it's...
It's a lot better.
It's a lot better.
It's
the vaulting, it's better optimized, and the UI just looks cleaner.
Yeah, so. Did you, speaking of seeing full release, did you saw the Xbox One version of PUBG?
I still haven't watched the video of it, but it's like
massive
frame rate drops, right?
Right. So Digital Foundry did a YouTube clip about PUBG on Xbox One, and they did frame rate and resolution analysis and textures. And for people who don't know, Digital Foundry is like a pretty technical look at ports of games in particular to see like how the ports run and, you know, what the optimization looks like. And it's pretty negative on PUBG on Xbox One. But the whole game has kind of been in progress for the whole year, mostly, ever since it was released. And now that it's releasing 1.0 version, which I think is in a couple weeks, it's supposed to be at the end of this year, I think.
Yeah.
So that'll be exciting to see what happens. But certainly, if you have PUBG, you can play on the test server for free. It's an additional, I think, 8 GB download, but you can really notice a dramatic difference between the live version now and the test version. The test version is much better.
Yeah.
So that presumably will be the 1.0 version. So it'll run better very soon. But PUBG is on the list. 20XX is on my list. What else do you got on your list?
I mean, we're seeing a number of games finally leaving early access or seeing older titles seeing their first release on console, such as Switch releases or things like that.
Like which ones?
Like Don't Starve just had its console release this year.
Did it really? Interesting.
Yeah, and it's kind of like a compilation of all the DLC and the Don't Starve Together and stuff. And that's like a really solid game. And seeing that get its console release, I think is cool. Human Fall Flat and Gang Beasts just had their version 1.0 release recently.
Yeah, I can't believe Gang Beasts finally came out of early access. That's been like 4 years, something like that, in early access. I remember playing it when it first hit Steam at a Google event in San Francisco, and it was really cool. And as soon as I got back to China, I bought the game and played it.
Yeah.
And it's been in early access ever since.
It's been a long time.
What really blows my mind is that I feel like even playing Gang Beasts this year from playing it when I played it in like 2014, it hasn't really changed at all.
Yeah,
it's been updated continually, but like nothing has really changed.
They've added like maybe a couple maps, and they've added a waves mode. They also recently added a football mode football.
Okay.
Wait, soccer? I'm getting confused being in soccer and having British friends. Anyways, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, so Gang Beasts went to 1.0 this year, and that's a good bit of information, I guess. I mean, it's a great game. It's been in early access for probably too long. Another game is Arena Gods, which we played at CGF, and really, really enjoyable game. And it's kind of similar to Gang Beasts. I think I first played that years ago, and it wasn't even in early access. It wasn't even available at all.
Right.
And so it went to early access, and I think it was in early access for maybe 2 weeks max. It's hard to imagine like how much useful information you can gather in that time.
Yeah.
But in any case, it went to full release, and that's available on Steam now.
It's exciting.
Yeah, that game was developed in China,
yeah,
in Beijing. So it's kind of cool to see a good quality game, independent game, competitive multiplayer game, which is a perfect match for CGF, be developed in China and released here. So good for them. Check that out on Steam.
Yeah. One thing that we were really excited about this year, and I think we've had a ton of fun with, is Nidhogg 2.
That's on my list, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I haven't been playing it nearly as much as I spent time with the first one.
Right. Well, Nidhogg 2 is not that different from the original Nidhogg. I mean, they had a few new weapons. The art style, which is highly controversial, is totally revamped. It's still a great game. It's probably the best tournament I think we hosted this year.
Yeah.
And that game came out on August 15th, 2017.
And we also had that epic 30-minute match between us that one night. Got that achievement for having...
Yeah, we hosted the tournament the day of the release at Dave's Oasis here in Chengdu. That was on August 15th, 2017. It's still a great game. So that's why it's on my list. It's made by Messhoff, who's Mark Essen, independent developer. And it's available on PS4, Windows, and Mac. So Nidhogg 2 is just, I like it a lot. It's been very controversial. It hasn't been universally praised to the degree that the original Nidhogg was. But us being big fans of the original, the second one is just really enjoyable. I like it a lot.
Cool. I have a couple other games I didn't really get to play this year. But before I get into those, there's one other game that I've been spending a good amount of time with, and that is Strafe.
Yeah.
Especially since I got my new computer and I can play at home now. Finally.
That's funny. You couldn't play Strafe before because it's, right? Like it's like a Quake looking. It looks like it's 20 years old.
The whole like catchphrase of the game is like bleeding edge graphics from the year 1999 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good game. I played it for a little bit. I prefer Heavy Bullets.
Yeah, I think I prefer Heavy Bullets as well, but they're like pretty different types of games. You know, like Strafe is much more like, it's not as methodical and like thinking about managing items or anything. It's just like a quick, fast-paced shooter. And sometimes that's fun to just get into and get a few minutes. Like when I play Heavy Bullets, I'm like in it for the long haul, you know?
Like, I feel like they're similar enough such that I'm going to play probably one or the other. And I went through a process where I played both and then just kind of decided like, yeah, Heavy Bullets is more the one for me. But
yeah, they're both Devolver Digital though, right?
Yeah, they're both Devolver Digital. But Strafe is a good game also. It's a different style. It's more of a Doom style, like run and gun, quick action, yeah. You know?
You've been playing Sonic Mania a bit, and I tried it out last weekend, I think.
Yeah.
And I think I kind of want to pick up that game. That game is like the best Sonic game we've seen in years.
It's the best Sonic game ever. I don't think there's a better Sonic game. I think that it's hard to argue that this is not the best one. It's it has all the best qualities of all the best Sonic games ever. I mean, Sonic Adventure was okay. Obviously, it paled in comparison to platformers like Mario, and Mario 64. But the original 16-bit Sega Genesis Sonic games are classics, in particular Sonic 1 through 3. And Sonic Mania has all the best qualities of those games and then adds a bunch of new things, which are really good things that you want to see in a Sonic game. So it's pretty amazing that we see something like that in 2017. I mean, we're so far beyond those games, and it really kind of has felt like Sonic has been dead for a very long time, for decades. And so for this now to come out in 2017 is kind of a curveball.
Yeah.
But it's a fantastic game. I didn't put it on my list. It doesn't come to like, you know, game of the year for me, but it's really good. I mean, if you enjoy, or if you like grew up playing Sonic or had a Sega Genesis, and then it's absolutely worth checking out. It's a little expensive on Steam, actually.
How much is it?
I think it's $20. I think it's 100 something kwai. You know, in the Steam China store, if you live in China and you have your Steam account set to the China store, which you should if you don't, then the prices are extremely low. They're usually half or less than half of what they are in the United States. And I think Sonic Mania is $20 in the States. And it's not significantly reduced here in China, which is why I bought the game on Switch, because it was actually cheaper on Switch than on Steam, which doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
But regardless, it is a great game. I'm glad you mentioned it.
Yeah. NBA Playgrounds came out this year. Definitely not Game of the Year material or anything, but cool to see a spiritual successor to NBA Jam.
And, yeah, you know,
we played a lot of
did
that.
Did you hear about NBA Playgrounds on Switch?
It's on the Switch?
Yeah, it's on the Switch. So it's on the Switch, but apparently it's a really bad port. And the developers apologize. The performance is bad. There's like really long loading time. Like the resolution is low. It's not a good port. Huh. And the developers were apologizing for the bad port, and they promised to release a patch. I think this was in October. Wow. And they said, a patch is imminent. A patch is coming really soon. And they said, we'll not only patch the game and fix all these problems, but we'll give you a free copy of Shaq Fu.
What?
In that game? It's like a fighting game with Shaq. Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah. That's like an old game. And why would...
Right.
That's pretty...
So they promised this a couple months ago, and still the update is not available. And so people are just super angry.
But did everybody get Shaq Fu?
No.
Nobody got Shaq Fu?
No. Now people are
Shaq
thinking
Fu's
that...
not really that good either, though, so...
Yeah, but people were just happy to get anything and just have the developer admit that it was their fault and to, you know, take action to improve the situation. But it seems like on Reddit, on the like Nintendo Switch subreddit, for example, people are super salty at the developer who made the port for NBA Playgrounds. Like, where's Shaq Fu? Where's the update? Why is it, you know, they're just like, this is the only game on Switch I regret. There have been a couple of really bad ports on Nintendo Switch. So NBA Playgrounds is not the only one, but it is a shame to see that. So it may be a game that doesn't age very well.
Yeah.
Unlike NBA Jam, which is like a fine line.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another game on my list. I mean, so I rank them. Such, I would put Zelda Breath of the Wild as my game of the year. I think there's no question about that.
Yeah,
for
me too.
You know, originally I thought that Mario Odyssey was my favorite game of the year until I played more Zelda. Yeah, so it took like a couple dozen hours into Zelda for me to really appreciate all the subtleties. But Mario Odyssey is very high up on that list. Next on my list would be Cuphead.
Wow, yeah, Cuphead's really good. I've only played it when we played together over here. I haven't bought it yet, but I think Cuphead's art direction is really amazing. It's a beautiful looking game, and the gameplay itself is like well put together. It's a well designed game.
I think the art style of Cuphead is the thing which people mention first, and justifiably so. But the gameplay is just as satisfying, I think, for me.
Yeah, it's got really, really well-designed boss battles.
It's got great music. Yeah. I mean, it's a real contender for Game of the Year, I think. And for those who don't know, Cuphead was released just a couple months ago at the end of September of this year, 2017.
It's been a long wait. People have been excited about that.
Yeah. Do you know when this game was first announced?
Wasn't it like 2013 or 14?
Yeah. So it was developed by Studio MDHR, which are two brothers named Chad and Jared Moldenhauer. And they founded this company in 2013, and they announced Cuphead at that time. And they originally planned to release Cuphead in 2014. And so Microsoft was working with them, and it was announced as an Xbox One exclusive way back then, years ago. And it didn't get released until just a couple months ago at the end of September. So it's crazy how long it took to make this. But I think when you play the game, like, you get an appreciation for why it took so long, because every single frame of animation for all the characters were hand-drawn.
Yeah.
And so it really accurately portrays this 1930s Disney, you know, old school Mickey Mouse kind of style. Really, really tremendous game. I mean, in every aspect. A lot has been said about the difficulty of the game. It's not easy, but, you know, it's manageable.
Yeah.
The game is available on Xbox One and on Windows. It's on Steam. Highly recommend Cuphead. Really one of the best games of the year, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
And then after that, I think my next one would have to be What Remains of Edith Finch.
Cool. Now, see, I can't put that, like, if we're going to, like, list them in order, I can't put that. I really like it, but I haven't beat it. I haven't played it yet other than briefly for a few minutes, and I've been waiting to play that. So I'll play it, and I'm sure I'm going to love that game, but...
Yeah, so that was released on April 25th of this year. For those who don't know, What Remains of Edith Finch is a collection of short stories about a cursed family in Washington State. Each story is about a family member or an ancestor of the Finch family who meet some kind of untimely demise.
It's really well done. It's a good-looking game.
Yeah, it's got
very immersive.
Overwhelmingly positive reviews on Steam. And this is one of the games which has been widely discussed as Game of the Year, I think. At the Game Awards, What Remains of Edith Finch, I think, was nominated for Game of the Year. And I think it won some award for something, I'm not sure. But it's received a ton of accolades, and rightly so. It's a short game. It takes, I think, about...
4 or 5 hours?
No, less than that. I think
like
it's maybe...
3 hours?
Yeah, I think 2 to 3 hours. So it's a very brief game. And, you know, unfortunately, it's not one that has a lot of replayability either. But it still, I mean, it says a lot about how good the game is, that it's so short and not really replayable, and it's still so highly regarded.
Tacoma came out this year as well, right? And that did not get nearly, it didn't get almost any attention in comparison to What Remains of Edith Finch.
Yeah, you're right. I think that Tacoma was overshadowed by Edith Finch.
Yeah.
I think that everything in this sort of genre of like, interactive movies, you know, was Edith Finch is clearly like the front runner.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I would just define the game. You know, it's kind of like the gameplay elements of Edith Finch are pretty light, but it's still a wonderful game. Highly recommend it, and it's definitely worth checking out. I really also love these shorter kind of experiential games. So, you know, they're not for everybody. Some people really dislike Edith Finch and dislike games like this because they're like, oh, it's not challenging and I can't play it for like 30 hours. Well, I mean, it's all subjective.
That's just like your opinion, man.
Yeah. So anyway, that's on my list. Zelda, Mario, Cuphead, and What Remains of Edith Finch. Those are like my top games.
If I had to rank it, like I said, I didn't get as much time playing newer games. I would probably just go with Zelda, PUBG, and Getting Over It.
Yeah, no, you've been playing Get Over It. Why don't you talk about that for a minute? Because I'm really shocked. First of all, it doesn't surprise me that Getting Over It has been
trending.
Widely popularized by YouTube because it's like a very good Let's Play game. Yeah. I know that PewDiePie made a video about it and it was very popular. It got many millions of views as all of his videos do. And then he went back and played it again. And I think he went back and played it a third time or a fourth time. And so there's been a lot of interest.
It's been trending.
It's been a lot of interest generated by him alone and by a lot of Let's Play videos. And what really surprises me is that it's been a mainstay for the last 2 weeks since it was released on Steam in the top sellers list. So it's been like one
now,
of the top
selling
games. Now, it
was originally released as a Humble exclusive, wasn't it? So aren't those supposed to be like only available to Humble subscribers or whatever?
No. No, that's not how the exclusives there
so
work.
So how does an how is it as exclusive?
It's not exclusive. It was exclusive for a brief period. It's like, mobile games are exclusive for a brief period before they go on other platforms. Mario Run was exclusive to iOS before it came out on Android. Games are exclusive under a timeline basis all the time in the game industry.
All right.
It makes a lot of sense for developers, you know? So if you can be exclusive with Humble Bundle, for example, they may offer an incentive. They'll promote the game or they'll pay you or they'll offer something in exchange for a time exclusive. And then after you've enjoyed all the benefits of that, then you release on the other platforms. So it's very common in the game industry, but you can getting over it on Steam now, and a ton of people are getting it on Steam.
It's really good.
Describe the game for people who haven't played it.
Yeah, so you're like a dude in, I guess, a pot, right? And you have a giant, like a big hammer, and you can swing your hammer around. You control it with the mouse and have to kind of make your way up. I don't know
what's
about
the game.
A mountain?
What's the game about? The game is about
it's about getting over the mountain or whatever you want to describe this thing. It's kind of made up of many different objects, and I would describe it as like a physics-based climber. Maybe.
Yeah. The game is kind of about hardship and loss and overcoming adversity, and it's about starting over.
Yeah, and I think the message the game kind of delivers is really good, and as challenging as it is, it constantly encourages you to, there's a narrator, and it kind of just keeps telling you, like, this is life, and you got to deal with this, but you got to keep doing it. And I'm surprised at how much time, I mean, I started playing 1 or 2 days ago, and I've already put in 2 to 3 hours.
That's a lot of time.
Yeah, and I've not made it that far, but
so you understand now why I was joking? Like, let's race to like complete this game.
I mean, I'm still playing. I'm going to beat the game.
You will?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you want to give an estimate for when you'll finish it?
Oh, God. Maybe like one more hour?
Really?
No, absolutely not, dude. I don't even know like how far the mountain goes or something, but...
Oh, so you haven't even watched like a speedrun?
I kind of don't want to. Like, I just want to like, a big part of it is just kind of figuring it out for myself, and getting to that next part is like such a sense of accomplishment, and then falling down again and having to get back up there again.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I want to at least stick with it for a little bit longer. It might take me like 5 to 10 hours with as difficult as it has been so far, but I don't know how much further I have to go.
Yeah.
But that has been really good. I don't know if I would, I mean, I was kind of joking. I don't know if I would put it as like game of the year or anything, but it's been a really fun and kind of like zen-like game for me recently.
It's certainly been a phenomenon. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's a lot of the game of the year is like, oh, you can only choose like AAA games, which like everybody acknowledges are like the game of the year. I kind of reject that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
kind of
like just thinking about games though that like I'm going to be playing for a long time and will like continue to stick with me. And Zelda and PUBG probably fit that mark for the games that came out this year that I played. And while I think this game's going to stick with me for... Maybe it will. I mean, like, in a lot of ways, it's comparable to Stanley Parable, like, with the narrator and the, like, kind of ambiguous message that it's delivering. So maybe it fits into that category, but I don't know if I could, like, put it in the same ranks as, like, Zelda, you know?
Well, some of my favorite games of all time, like BioShock or Final Fantasy VII or, you know, Fallout 3, are not games that I have played a second time, like ever, you know? So I may play them again at one point, or it could be like 10 years or never, you know, who knows? But they're still like, they've left an indelible mark on my memory of like, what's a great experience in a game. And maybe getting over it does that for you. I don't know. I mean, one really small game, which is on my list, is called Superflight.
Oh, yeah. You recommended that game to me. That game looks really kind of relaxing. Looks fun.
Highly recommend it. It's a high-speed wingsuit flying game. It's a little bit like Race the Sun, but it's a lot better. It's got 1,500 reviews on Steam, 10 out of 10 average. And it was released pretty recently on November 9th, 2017. It's a really inexpensive game. I think it's like 30
bucks or something.
30 RMB or something like that on Steam. So it's,
I think it's 15 RMB.
It may be. I don't know. It's very cheap and it's just a fantastic game. Super fun. Really simple. Basically, the idea of the game is there.
Superflight is super fun.
They're procedurally generated courses, which you're just perpetually falling into, and you get points by falling near obstacles and objects. So you are very cleverly incentivized into committing to dangerous maneuvers just to get more points.
Now, what do you get for flying into a wall? Do you get dead?
Yeah, you get dead. That was a good question, though.
Is that like ragdoll physics or anything for you, like flying off the stuff? Is it fun to crash?
Splat. No, you just splat.
That's cute.
Yeah. You don't want to hit walls. But to get the most points, you're doing like crazy dangerous stuff at like really high speeds.
Right.
And it's just a great way to incentivize exciting gameplay without adding too many complexities. You know? I mean, you have points, but other than that, there's like literally nothing else in the game, really. It's like it's beautifully simple.
Right. You were asking if there's anything else on my list. There is one other. I actually haven't played it yet, but I did watch Dan play it the other day at his house. And I haven't even played the first one, but that's The Evil Within 2. And it looks like probably the coolest horror game I've seen that's still in the vein of like older style horror games like Silent Hill or Resident Evil with like some new in like a next generation take on those. And I think that is like a huge thing for me because you don't really see horror games like that coming out anymore. It's like Alien Isolation, Amnesia. What is that one? The one with the camcorder.
Oh, Outlast.
Outlast, right.
And well, like I haven't finished Resident Evil 7, but I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, even Resident Evil 7 has gone this like first person kind of immersive environment that doesn't really have... I mean, I don't know. I haven't played 7, but it still seems more akin to, you know, these things. And The Evil Within is by, what's that guy's name? Shinji
Mikami.
Shinji Mikami,
yeah, the creator of Resident Evil.
So I haven't played it, but the atmosphere and tension that came up while Dan was playing.
Did you play the original Evil Within?
I didn't play the original. I kind of want to go and play the original one first and then pick up the second one because I heard that the second one overshadows the first one.
Yeah, I like the first one.
Cool.
Shinji Mikami is one of my favorite game designers probably of all time. And Resident Evil 4 is one of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 7 is good. I can't compare it to Evil Within 2, but they both seem pretty great.
Yeah.
And I've seen both of them discussed in, you know, Games of the Year. Also, another one which I haven't played and I know you haven't played is Wolfenstein 2.
Yeah, I didn't even play the first one. And you, like, love that game.
Phenomenal.
You speak very highly of it.
Really,
I
really
do
good.
Love the whole throwback, the dream sequences to the old Wolfenstein 3D. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
Another game which we haven't played, which is being discussed a lot, is Persona 5.
Yeah, that's like a lot of people are really big on that.
Right.
But I mean, to me, it just kind of seems too much. It's like to complete the game is like over 100 hours or something, right?
I'm not sure. It's something like that. I think it's like 60 plus to 100 hours or
something. I'm pretty sure just like base completion of the game is around like 120 hours, I think is what I was reading, which is like nuts. It's not often that we come even close to spending that much time in a game.
I don't have a single game in my entire Steam library that I've spent that much time on.
How much time you think you spend in Stardew Valley? Like 80 hours on the Steam one and you've been playing on Switch now.
No, I've got 95 hours on Steam and probably 10 hours on Switch.
Yeah, so you're close to that mark with Stardew Valley.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's true if you combine both those platforms in that way. I got one other game on my list, which we haven't mentioned yet, and that is Res Infinite.
What a awesome... First of all, the original game is like one of my favorite games. What an awesome game. And like, what a great update to that game.
Have you played the new one?
Yeah, it updates like the whole original game and then adds like this whole new kind of like game on top of that.
Plus, it includes VR, which is just like a really so good look dope, on the part what of the developer.
A, like, what a great game for VR, too.
Yeah. Just like, man, good guys just releasing VR with it. You know, they're not like making Fallout like a standalone VR thing or Skyrim like standalone VR. It seems like standalone VR games of like big games is a commonly accepted trend, which is happening now.
Like, or Doom. Yeah, we want to charge $60 and then release. Yeah, but the whole Doom thing is like an entirely new campaign, to be fair.
Is it? I thought it was just the same game.
No, it's like an entirely new campaign taking place after Doom.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that makes sense to me. But like, as far as I know, like Fallout and stuff is just Fallout.
Skyrim also.
Yeah, so if you've like purchased that game and paid full price when it first came out and now you want to play in VR, you have to pay full price for the game again. That's kind of...
Yeah, Bethesda's gone a little bit over the top in monetizing Skyrim in particular.
Yes.
You know, Skyrim's, they release the game, then they make the remastered one.
Using mods that the community made and released for free.
And then they take the original one off the Steam store, so you can't even buy it.
Yeah.
Or actually, I heard that you can buy it, it's just not listed. Like if you search for Skyrim, the original one does not come up. But if you go to someone's library who has Skyrim, you can click on that and that'll take you to the store page and you can buy it that way.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. You could also probably purchase it from other places like maybe GOG, or not maybe like Humble Bundle or something. No, that probably at this point has the updated version.
They're trying to take the old version off the store, basically, to guide people towards the remastered one. So the reviews for that are mixed.
Yeah. That also happened with State of Decay.
And Skyrim also games. Is a $60 game on Switch now. I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know how I feel about it either. It doesn't look like that great either. I mean, it looks good, but it's like when you compare it to the PC version, it's like... It looks pretty shitty.
Yeah, I mean, it's a handheld, you know? I mean, I don't know if it's like fair to compare them in that way, but anyway, a lot of people enjoy it. It's got good reviews on Switch, even though it, you know, doesn't look, it's not like 4K, you know, like PC version, you know, whatever. But Res Infinite is 4K, just to finish up that thought. It's 4K, 60 FPS. And for those who don't know, it's a action shooter. It's kind of a on rails shooter game. And it's like mind-melting visuals, music,
game.
You know, yeah, it's a really immersive quest through cyberspace to save the world on the verge of collapse. So
pretty cool.
It's pretty neat.
On that note, we've been talking about all these games that have come out this year. Is there anything else you've been playing recently that maybe is an older game?
Just mostly Switch games. I've been playing Enter the Gungeon, which I just got on Switch. Enjoying
so
that.
So good.
Yeah, really challenging game. And I basically just been trying to finish Zelda. So I'm like coming into the end of the game. I got the DLC pack recently, which has the Champion's Ballad, new story content. So I don't know how far I am through that. Maybe halfway through or something. Trying to get that motorcycle before I finish the game because what I read online is that people finish the game or they've had the game finished for months and then they get the DLC and they complete
like feel
that.
No use for the bike, basically.
Well, they get the bike and it's cool and you like ride around, but you've already like done everything. So it's kind of pointless. So I thought it kind of worked out well since I haven't finished the game. It's like, I can buy this and check that out. And yeah, Zelda's just been like such a good game. I feel no hesitation whatsoever buying the $20 DLC, especially since it includes two DLC packs and there's a whole bunch of new content.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just like a couple new story things. It's like new shrines, new armor, new equipment, like a lot of new things. So for $20, I feel like that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, that's worth it.
Yeah.
I've been playing, as you said, Deadpool primarily and like occasionally some runs in Strafe or Heavy Bullets. Deadpool is not a great game.
Yeah, I don't know why you're like how many you get dozens of hours in this. You didn't play like a lot of the games of the year.
Cause like I've been setting up other things for like things I want to work on my computer, and I kind of started it, and I like am on this thing with my Steam library where like I just want to like try to stay focused and like finish a game, and I already like invested a bunch of time in it, and it's not like a terrible game. It's like fun, and it's like really funny. The writing and the voice acting in the game.
Did you buy that recently in a Steam sale, or how'd you get that?
Yeah, I got it like really cheap. It was being removed from the Steam store. I like love the character Deadpool, so I thought I would check it out. It was like really cheap, maybe like 20 kwai or something. So I was like, yeah, I'll just pick it up, check it out. And it's not great, but it's like fun, and the writing is like really good, and it has like a lot of weird, quirky like level design.
The way how you describe that is kind of how I feel about Shadow of War. You know, that was like one of my most anticipated games of the year, and it turned out to not be like a game of the year.
Yeah,
it's an enjoyable game, it's just not great.
Yeah, I mean, Shadow of Mordor is such a good game, and it's totally understandable that Shadow of War would be hyped up, but I just don't think it, like, stood up. It didn't have an impact the way that other games did. Like,
it just didn't push far enough.
Yeah.
You know, it's more like an expansion to Shadow of Mordor than it is an entirely new thing. I mean, they added some new mechanics, which are kind of neat, but it all felt like it didn't push into exciting new territory in the way that the real games of the year did.
Yeah.
So when you describe Deadpool, I'm kind of thinking of Shadow of War in my head.
Yeah.
I'm surprised to have that not be like on my list of games of the year. Totally, dude.
I mean, I'd like to play it, but I'm not going to pay that full price when I have like DLC that I haven't completed for the first one and like a huge library of unplayed games.
And you got Deadpool to play.
I got Deadpool to play.
You got great games like Deadpool.
Cool.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to the podcast. We hope you enjoyed 2017. A lot of fantastic games. We're looking forward to 2018 and maybe recording a recap for 2018 in a year. We'll see how that goes. If you're interested in checking out more episodes of the podcast, you can stream or download those from our website at chundugaming.com. You can also find the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you listen to podcasts. And thank you very much, and happy holidays, and hope everyone has a good new year.
Later.